Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host, Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
Emergency press conference here. No, not really. But we did want to – there was some news that came down the pipe. Obviously, a lot of the big talk in across NCAA athletics, not just baseball, but obviously we focus, you know, more on baseball. Although I do think that what we talk about is broadly applicable to a lot of things. But you've got all this roster limit and NIL revenue sharing litigation that's in court right now. So on October 7th, regarding the House versus NCAA, if you're looking to get a little bit more information beyond what we're about to tell you, go ahead and Google that. It is the House versus NCAA litigation. They have preliminary approval of a settlement that has been granted by one of the, I think it's a district court in California. Don't quote me on that, but it is the litigation is happening in Northern California. High level of this. This is basically a response to three separate antitrust lawsuits. You can look into those. This goes all the way back to like Ed O'Bannon. Some of the big ticket items that are in here beyond the scholarship limits, most of this is actually focused on money and not the actual rosters and scholarship limits. But you've got a $2.8 billion payout, which is kind of the headliner for the retroactive payment of student athletes, where student athletes will be able to apply if you graduate in 2016 or later, you have the ability to apply to get a distribution of that $2.8 billion. Roughly they're saying if you were, they're terming it like an employee of the school, right? So not everybody who played college sports is getting a piece of this pie. I can tell you that. That's a big piece of it. Then there is hashing out a revenue sharing model between the school and the player. There's all kinds of numbers thrown out in this. Looking at like $21 million per school is going to be pitched in is kind of some of the rough numbers. But essentially, they're trying to hash out a revenue sharing model so that all the NIL money or NIL money isn't coming from these NIL collectives. Some of the other information that they're trying to hash in there is they're trying to frame up some regulation on how the NIL money is not only distributed but defined. Right now, it's kind of the wild, wild west. There's people from all over the place paying. The spirit of the NIL was that players would be compensated for services in relation to their name, image, and likeness, you know, car dealership stuff, local business, yada, yada. And it's really just turned into writing paychecks to athletes based on how much you deem them to be worth, given your particular situation, particular program. So that's the high level. The other portion of it is this new idea of scholarship caps versus roster limits. So previously, sport like baseball, you had a roster limit, but it was more defined by your scholarship cap. You had 11.7. Now, what is likely to move forward in this, while it's not, the ink has not dried, it is expected that if anything does go through for the 2025-2026 athletic season, that it will be the scholarship caps in the roster numbers. For baseball, it would be 34. Some other things to keep in mind before I kick it over to you, Coach, is there are some question marks and some things that need to be resolved here, one of which is Title IX. There's layers to the Title IX. Some of it has to do with the roster limits. Some of it has to do with the revenue sharing, because as you can probably imagine, football and men's basketball are the two biggest revenue generating sports in NCAA sports. So it's estimated that roughly 90% of the revenue is going to be generated by those sports and would be distributed to those sports, which gets you into the conversation of, well, how are the women being compensated? So that's part of it. Another thing that is yet to be resolved that is on the docket via the athletes at Dartmouth is the idea of potential student-athlete unionization. That doesn't seem to be a hot topic item, but it is something that's being discussed. A couple other things popped up that are really interesting, and I think we can take a couple minutes to talk about these, but it's proposed that there would be a new redshirt rule. some sports have a redshirt rule right now where you can play a percentage of a season and still get your redshirt year because of injury or because of you can just declare a redshirt because you didn't play a lot. Right now for baseball, if you pinch run, your season is a season. And if that's all you do, your season is wash. You lose your eligibility. So I think that would be a welcome rule change for a lot of people that you don't burn a year on a kid who throws one inning and then gets hurt type of thing. The other one that I think is a little bit more contentious is there is discussions of getting rid of the national letter of intent, which essentially is the only binding agreement in this whole process. So with that being said, I think the most relevant portion of this, because the revenue sharing and the NIL money is going to be reserved for a very small percentage of baseball players. I think the more relevant topic is the scholarship caps and the roster limits. We've spoken to a lot of coaches, several dozen across the Division I landscape where this is, you know, ultimately going to be impacted the most. And we're hearing some pretty consistent thoughts and some pretty consistent concerns. So with that, I'll kick it over to you, Coach.
Yeah, I think the roster limits and the scholarships are certainly going to be the things that everyone is going to be waiting on before they really start making a lot of decisions on what they're doing moving forward with recruiting classes. You know, you have a max of 34, and you know, we're still kind of unsure as to like, when does that 34 have to be declared? Does it have to be declared in the fall? Is it declared in the spring? Can you have more people in the fall? Like, what does that look like? And you know, until that's kind of ironed out, like the scholarship stuff, you know, there's a lot of questions there, and a lot of it obviously is surrounding Title IX. And also the capability of schools to be able to fund however many scholarships it is that schools are going to deem for each sport. You know, you mentioned this at the top of the show. It's not just baseball. This is every sport. So every sport has seen scholarship increases. And if, you know, I've talked to some coaches who are like, yeah, we have the funding to go full for everything, but we wouldn't be in compliance with Title IX. We'd have to whack like seven sports, which they don't want to do, right? Like that's not something that they legitimately want to do. And I think the other thing is that, you know, the conferences are ultimately going to be the ones that step in and say like, these are going to be max scholarship opportunities for each sport, because you're going to have schools in conferences that do have the capability of funding, fully funding, or, you know, bumping that number from 11.7 to 23. In other schools that aren't even fully funded right now, that are barely going to be able to get the 12, you know, so there's going to be a number for each conference that's going to say, this is the max that's going to be allowed. You know, we haven't seen anything that says that there's going to be a minimum. Like there is the minimum 25% right now. Like it seems like it might be the Division II type model where you can use your money how you see fit. You know, so there's a lot of things that are going to be that are unresolved and up in the air right now. But these are the things, like when we saw 34 full scholarships, it was like, wow, look at the opportunities now. And then you step back and think about it, like there's a lot of things that go into this that aren't going to necessarily allow everyone to get to those numbers, because there are schools that can and there's a lot of schools that can't. You know, so these conferences aren't going to want to have the disparity of, you know, three or four schools at the top end of a conference who can do all of this, and 8, 9, 10 schools that aren't even going to come close, because there's going to be no parity. There's going to be a wildly large competitive advantage to four schools in a conference where the rest of the conference just isn't going to be competitive in anything. So, you know, there's so much up in the air. It's going to grind the 2026 class to a halt, I think, until they really get this ironed out. Now, the top end guys that are, you know, really, really good that are going to go play in the Power Four conferences, it's not really going to slow that down. But those mid-major Division Ones that, like, they don't know how many scholarships they're going to have, how much money they have available, it's going to slow that down a little bit, because now they're playing a numbers game with how many guys they have on the roster, how many guys they have coming in. Are there guys that they're going to have to get rid of in order to clear room for the roster crunch, that there's going to be guys in the portal that they could get out, and then what 26s they have to add in. So you know, it's a shell game right now trying to think of all this stuff. And I think it's just going to grind to a halt until we kind of have more of a concrete answer of what this is going to look like. But I mean, if you're listening to us talk about this and it sounds convoluted, it's because it is. There's so many moving pieces to this right now. And, you know, we just don't necessarily have a lot of clarity on it yet.
Yeah, I think the two big takeaways I have is that even the, you know, even you just take the SEC as a conference, like it's expected that those schools aren't going to, they're not going to do the full 34. So if they're not going to do the full 34, you know, not everybody else is. All right. And I know, I wouldn't say for a fact, but based on conversations that there are schools in other Power Four conferences that we've talked to that they do not expect to see any significant increase in the scholarships that are going to be allotted. Right. But that's going to happen, to your point. I think it'll be a conference thing. And then it's going to be internal within those guidelines. Talking to coaches, I think the biggest question they have is the timing of the 34, because it really does impact what you do, right? If you can only bring 34 guys on campus, that's way different than what we're operating in right now or what we've ever operated in, right? The roster limit of 34 is not new to the vast majority of guys coaching at the Division I level. Like 2019 or 2018, I think was the last season. Or 2019 was the last season, excuse me. Yeah, we had 35. So like the number 34 isn't foreign to guys, right? Operating with a roster that size is not new. What is new is that coaches are used to be able to bring on 45 guys onto campus, and then you get down to your, you know, your 34, you know, come springtime. What is that going to look like? Is there going to be a max of guys that you can practice with in the fall? And then you have to declare your 35 man roster. How do red shirts impact that? So that seems to be the biggest concern from coaches. The scholarship stuff seems to be kind of a moot point. They'll get their directive from the school or the conference on how many they have. They'll operate with a slightly different budget potentially. I think many schools aren't. You're not going to see a change at all for the vast majority of Division I. But that roster limit, to your point, that throws a wrinkle in things because, and you've seen it the last couple months. You're going to see it here in the next couple weeks. Kids are going to be getting decommitted, or as we like to lovingly call it, getting dumped, because they're trying to get down to what that number is, because there's not a coach that we have talked to that is not fully anticipating this being the way forward for next fall, bare minimum next fall, definitely for when that 2026 class gets on campus is the anticipation. So, but most schools are making preparations for that roster to be cut down, starting with next fall. So it's to your point.
And again, to reiterate, we don't even know what that number is right now, because the roster limit is 34, but when does that have to be declared? Like right now under current rules, you know, you can have as many as you want in the fall. You just have to declare 30 or 40 now at the before your first game. So what does that rule, what is this rule going to do? And if you're not going to have 34 full scholarships, that would, you know, okay, we can, you know, I think coaches could live with that. But if it's not going to be 34 full and that's our roster limit, what does the fall look like? Can we have 40 in the fall? And then we redshirt six guys, because inevitably you're going to have a couple guys that are probably going to be injured and out for an extended period of time. You redshirt them, like that gets your number down to 37. And then you have three guys. Okay, like do you have to cut one or two, or do you redshirt them and their freshman arms that might be really good next year? And you take that time to develop them over the course of the year. Like what does this look like? And again, it's so convoluted and up in the air that, you know, it's hard to, you know, kind of navigate that stuff under the current landscape. And it's not just us talking about this that's frustrated, or people like us who work with student athletes. It's the coaches too, that, you know, they're trying to build rosters and compete and do this for their livelihood, and they don't have answers either. And to be clear, it's not just baseball. This is every sport that this is happening to. We talk about it in the context of baseball, but this is happening in football, in women's lacrosse, in men's lacrosse, in soccer, and across the entire spectrum of sports. This is happening everywhere. So it's not just specific to baseball, but because we talk about it here, this is obviously what we focus on.
Correct. Anything else you want to add? We're definitely going to come back to this at some point. You know, as we get updates, as we hear new news, as we communicate with coaches, like, we'll be sure to, you know, try to get back to as many people as we can. But, you know, this is obviously, it's a concern for a lot of people, or at least an area of interest at bare minimum.
Yeah, I think the more clarity we get, the more we'll kind of do use one of our shorter podcast weeks for this stuff. You know, the other thing, and obviously the redshirt stuff is interesting to see what happens there. And like getting rid of the NLI is a wild, wild thing to me. So we'll see how that kind of plays out too. But that was kind of, I didn't know that was really on the table until I read that tweet this morning, and we kind of talked a lot of this through. So, you know, more information to come. And as it gets disseminated, we'll certainly talk about it and get it out there. But you know, I think we hammered the kind of the scholarship piece, which is one of the bigger things that's going on right now that we need to work through with what's going on with the rule changes from the NCAA.
We will keep you updated to the best of our knowledge. Feel free to Google this on your own to get sped up on it. But I think we covered the crux of it as far as baseball goes. It's certainly going to be impactful. It's important, especially if you're going through this as a 26, it's important to understand what's going on, because even if you're not a Division I player, this does have trickle down effect in the grand scheme of things with the roster cut. So it's important to understand what's going on in the landscape. It's important to understand that even though it may not directly affect you, there will be some trickle down across the recruiting landscape that's important for people to understand. So, we'll touch on this again. Otherwise, thank you for listening, everybody, and tune in next week. Thank you. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on emdbaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.